Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, we are looking this morning at verses 2 through 5. Galatians 3, verses 2 through 5. Paul says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Now before we get into this, these verses specifically, let's think a bit about the book. So we read the book and hopefully gave you an overview of what was taking place. And this book was written to churches that were in the region of Turkey, modern-day Turkey, called Galatia. And Paul and Barnabas had gone there on a missionary journey. And there were a great number of people converted and churches were formed. And as they came back, they strengthened them. And they went back to Antioch, which would have been in what we think of as present-day Syria or southeastern Turkey. In that region. And Paul goes down to Jerusalem and visits for a while, and he and Barnabas are there, and they go back home, and Peter comes up, and there was this contention about whether Christians should be circumcised or not. The effect of the law on the Jews, the sign of the law was that all men would have to be circumcised. All boys, when they were born, would have to be circumcised. And there was a debate among the apostles whether that should continue or not. And they decided, no, it shouldn't. It shouldn't continue. It's not necessary for it to continue. But there were some that went about saying that it had to continue. There were some that were preaching among Christians. Jews were preaching among Christians that they had to be circumcised, regardless if they were Gentile or Jew. And Paul writes this letter to the churches in Galatia because these Judaizers, as they're called, are entering in and they're saying, you have to be circumcised. You have to follow the law of Moses. You have to do these things as well as believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says to them, that is not the case. That is absolutely wrong. I came to you with Barnabas and we preached the gospel. We preached that Jesus Christ is it. That you will believe upon Him. He is the Savior. He is the one that suffered and died for sinners. There is none other. There is no other name that you can believe upon. There is nothing that you can do. If there was a law that could be given that would give you righteousness, then why would Christ come? Why would He have to be here? Is His work sufficient or not? Is He able to cleanse you completely from your sin and give you a righteousness that you cannot earn, or is He unable? It's a question of two things. Is there a law that can do it for you? No. That's why Christ came. If Christ came, then what purpose does the law serve? Is it to add on to Christ? No. It's there as a schoolmaster to teach you that you need Jesus Christ. And that's what He's been saying. That's what His argument is all about. And He's doing that so that they see that there is nothing that you can add on to faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. That indeed, if you add something on to Jesus Christ for salvation, then you don't have Christ. That's what He says. If you go to be circumcised, then Christ is of no effect for you. That's anything that you add on. It doesn't matter if it's circumcision or your efforts to be good. Whatever you add on to Jesus Christ makes Christ of no effect. Because that means you don't believe that He is sufficient for everything for your spiritual needs. Is the Son of God sufficient? Is He able to save you to the uttermost? Completely, wholly, with nothing else involved? That's the question that everyone who reads the book of Galatians has to answer. Does He or does He not have that ability? And Paul is saying resoundingly, He has that ability. It's Christ and Christ alone. Nothing else. Nothing added. And so here in chapter 3, he says, this only would I learn of you, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. And it's an interesting thing because Paul has a lot of questions in these few verses. He's asking a lot of the Galatians. Did you learn of it by the Spirit or by works? Are you foolish? Have you begun in the Spirit and now you're going to go back in the flesh? He's asking question after question after question. But before we do that, before we get to their questions, the first question we have to ask is, do you have the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit? You see, Jesus said to the apostles in the Gospels, he said, when I leave, I'm going to send you a comforter, another comforter. Jesus Christ was a comforter. He says, I'm going to send you another comforter, the Holy Spirit. And he is going to abide with you always. And we remember the stories, we remember in the book of Acts, where when the Spirit comes, it's as though flaming tongues of fire have placed upon them. And they have the Spirit of God with them. And then in the book of Acts, it shows later on when they go to the Gentiles, and the Spirit falls on them in the same way. That's not saying everybody's going to have the Spirit visibly falling on them. That's saying that the Spirit of God is given to everyone who believes, to the Jew at the day of Pentecost, and to the Gentile. It matters not. There's neither Jew nor Greek. That's what Paul says in Galatians. And he says the Spirit comes upon all. Everyone who's a child of God has the Spirit of God within them. He is an earnest payment, as he says elsewhere. He is an earnest payment of what God has given us. In Romans chapter 8, he says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You see, I was not born from my mother with the Spirit of God in me. That's a natural birth. This is what he says to Nicodemus. He says, you were born once, but you have to be born twice. Well, Nicodemus doesn't understand. How could he? Right? He doesn't understand. He doesn't comprehend. How can I be born again? And he says, you're not going to be born again from your mother. You're going to be born again by the Spirit. That the Spirit is now going to dwell within you for eternity. He's the earnest payment. And John says, hereby we know that he abideth in us by the Spirit which he hath given us. It's an authentic sign of a Christian. You think about it. I enjoy watching Antiques Roadshow. I don't know if you ever watch that show on a Sunday night. Get home and it's just calm and relaxing. It's not real fussy. And you see some of these antiques that come along, and boy, this one looks really nice. And they turn it all over, but they can't figure out who made it. And because of that, it's not really worth a whole lot. But this one over here, which might look almost identical to this one, and they turn it over, and it's got the maker's mark on the bottom. Right? And you say, well, this is made by so-and-so. And because it's made by so-and-so, it's from this year, and it's worth this much. They can tell so much about it. That's the Spirit of God to a Christian. It's the maker's mark. He has placed his Spirit on each one who believes. It is his mark. It's the down payment of the inheritance you will receive. That's who the Holy Spirit is. And Paul says, you have to have the Spirit. You have to have him dwelling with you. That's the sign that you are a child of God. And how do you have then the Spirit of God? It is through faith in Jesus Christ. How do you be born again? How do you have a second birth? It's by faith. It's believing that Jesus Christ has paid it all for your sins, has taken those away, and he's given you a righteousness his own, that was his own. That there is nothing you can do to save your soul. There is nothing that you can do to put yourself in heaven. There is nothing that I can do for you. There is nothing a church can do for you. It's only Jesus Christ who can do it. No one and nothing else. And so you have to apply to him. You have to ask forgiveness from him and have him forgive you. And when that happens, he not only gives you his righteousness, he gives you his Spirit to dwell with it within you. A true Christian is born of the Spirit, lives in the Spirit, has the Spirit of God abiding within. Because of that, are led by the Spirit, bear the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit that we read earlier on, and they're strengthened by the Spirit. That's what Christianity is all about. It is about Jesus Christ and his Spirit pointing you to him. If you do not have the Spirit, ask Christ. Seek him. Say, please forgive me. Please bring me to where you are. Please place your Spirit within me. Apply to him. Ask for mercy. Ask for grace. And do it in faith, believing that he's able. He's never turned anyone away. Paul says in Romans chapter 10, "But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." Having the Spirit means that the rest of the trappings of this world have nothing to do with your salvation. Now, he may use them to draw you. He may use them to strengthen you. He may use them to conform you to his image. But he doesn't use them to save you, because only Jesus Christ can do that. And so you apply to Jesus Christ for salvation and keep applying until he says, okay. And you'll know it. You'll have an assurance that will come because the Spirit of God dwells within you. And that's going to change you. You're going to love God in a way you never loved God before. You're going to seek to please him. You're not going to work for your salvation, but you're going to work because of it. You're going to want to do things for the Lord that you never even dreamed of before. So, if you have the Spirit of God, this is what Paul is saying, did you receive him by your efforts or through faith? You see, that's the thing. So many man-made religions, they want you to do all sorts of things to earn something. And that's what the Jews had thought the law was all about. Well, they were wrong. That's not what the law was all about. Paul tells us that later in the book. He says the law was to teach you that you needed Jesus Christ, that you needed a Savior, that you couldn't do it yourself. That's the purpose of the law. But man's religion is constantly doing the same thing. He's saying, you earn it. You're going to work for it. Well, if I could work for it, why did Christ come? It makes no sense. And so he says, did you receive the Spirit? If you have received the Spirit, did you receive it by faith or by working for it? Well, the obvious answer is it's only through faith. There is no other way. Did they earn their salvation? No, you can't earn your salvation. There is nothing that you can do to undo your sin. We don't have that ability. We can't erase it. But Jesus Christ can. And so, in Isaiah 64, he says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." That's every single person. All of us are in the same state. We're all born that way, and we'll all die that way unless the Spirit of God intervenes, unless Jesus Christ intervenes in our life. You remember the Philippian jailer? He's quaking for his life. He's thinking, like, okay, so I've got these prisoners here. There's an earthquake. All the jail cells are open. When he runs in, he thinks they're all gone. Everybody's left. And what is he thinking? Well, I'm going to have to kill myself so that my family doesn't pay the price. So I'm going to have to die. And Paul says, no, don't do it. Don't do it. We're all here. Nobody's left. And he's amazed. He's heard them singing earlier. He's heard what they said. And he says, what do I have to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved? Is there some action, something I have to do? What does Paul say? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, it's not complicated. It's simple, but it's not easy. Why? Because we have to set aside our own efforts. We have to set aside our own things. We have to set aside how good we think we are and recognize that it's just Jesus Christ. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. It's death. That's what we earn by our sin. But, that's a wonderful word, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the answer. The answer is not going back to the law of Moses, or any law that man comes up with. That's not the answer. It can't be the answer, because then it disannuls the promise. I'm all getting a little ahead of myself with some of the most stuff in Galatians because it's so wonderful. And then the question comes, how do you think you're going to do if you've begun in the Spirit by following the rules, by following laws, by following legalism? He says in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? having begun in the spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And this is a common thought in a lot of Christianity, that to be righteous, to be holy, to be sanctified, is to follow this list of do's and don'ts. That if I do these things, I will be more holy. And if I don't do these things, I will be more holy. Well, guess what that is? That's a law. That's a list of rules. And Paul says, are you so foolish if you've begun by faith in the Spirit of God, in Jesus Christ? You've begun in the Spirit. Do you think you're going to get better by now going back and following more rules? No, that's foolishness. That's not how it works. You don't become more perfect, more mature as a believer by saying, oh, you know what, I didn't do that, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, but I did this and this. It's just like that publican. Remember the publican Jesus talks about, the publican and the sinner. And the publican goes there and he says, I thank you, Lord, that I'm not like other people, and I don't do this, and I don't do that, and I'm not like that poor guy down there. And the poor guy down there said, he's not even lifting his head, and he said, forgive me. Forgive me, a sinner. I have nothing to claim your forgiveness. And Jesus says, which one's justified? Well, the one crying out as he's a sinner, not the one saying, ooh, I don't do that, and yes, I do this. So if you can't begin that way, how do you become more mature in faith that way? You don't. It's impossible. There's no way to become mature by following a list of rules. There are certainly evidences of salvation, but it's that trademark. It's that trademark of the Spirit. It's been imprinted, and you act differently, but it's about your faith in Christ. It's about the Spirit dwelling within. That's why the fruit of the Spirit, you notice they're not actions, are they? They're characteristics. The fruit of the Spirit. If I can find them without losing my place. Here we go. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. None of those are things that say, ooh, you did this, or you didn't do that. No, it's about who you are in the person, in who God has made you to be. Following Jesus Christ is not about following a list of rules. It's not about legalism. You know, in the United States, they have this thing, and it's been going on for a number of years now, probably a couple of decades, where they always want to put a list of the Ten Commandments out front on a sign or on some monument. Some churches have even convinced their township to put a monument of the Ten Commandments in the center of town. And they think that's wonderful and that's honorable. Has the Ten Commandments ever saved anyone? Not a one. Why? Because it can't. The only one who can is Jesus Christ. So would they be better off putting the greatest commandment and the second that's like unto it? Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if you put those two commandments out in front of your church, how many people can walk by and say, yeah, I got that covered today. I'm feeling pretty good about myself. Nobody could. I could walk past a monument and say, you know what, I haven't murdered anybody. I haven't committed adultery today. I haven't done this today. I haven't lied. I haven't done this. I haven't done that. I can walk by something like that and I can feel pretty good about myself. But if I walk by and say something that says, love God with all your heart, well, I don't think I made it today. I don't think I've made it any day. Love your neighbor as yourself. I certainly haven't done that. Those would be things that would cut to the quick, to the heart of the matter. Because those show faith or not. Because I can't do those. And that's what Paul is constantly reminding of us. He says, have you suffered so many things in vain? If it yet be in vain. You've been persecuted. You've been ridiculed. You've been mocked because of your faith. We don't have that same thing today. At least not at this point, or maybe not in this place. But then, if they were Jewish, they would be ridiculed, be turned out of their families, turned out of their friends. If there were Gentiles, the Gentiles would be like, why are you stopping drinking? Why are you not getting drunk with us anymore? Why aren't you going to the celebrations? What do you mean you just believe in one God? That's crazy. There's how many gods we have. They would have been ridiculed. They would have been mocked. They would have had difficulties because of it. And he says, have you suffered all these things in vain? Did you go through all that just to go back and follow the law? That's foolishness, Gentile. Galatians. And then he finishes it off. He says, when I came to you, when Barnabas came to you, when the others that minister the word come to you, when they minister the Spirit, because that's exactly what's happening when someone is preaching. They're ministering the Spirit of God, and I'm not going to be performing miracles, but they did. Well, did they do that by the works of the law or by faith? There was no action to say, if you do A, B, C, and D, then you'll be able to perform a miracle. Is there? There's nothing in the Scripture about that. Why is it that Jesus Christ, when he healed this blind man, did it this way? When he healed this blind man, he did it another way. When he healed this blind person, he did it a third way. Why is it that he doesn't heal everybody the exact same manner? Method. Because there is no method. There's no method for a miracle. That's God's domain. That's by faith alone. The Spirit is by faith alone. A miracle is by faith alone. Salvation is by faith alone. It's all by faith. It's not by works. It's important to know when you're looking into this word that it is by faith. By faith, not by works. Know who you're listening to. It's important. It's important to know who is ministering the word of God to you. Paul says, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Is the person that is ministering the word to you following Christ? If he is, wonderful. If he's not, you probably shouldn't follow him. Do you attend a different service because there's just one here? And when you listen, are they following Christ? Or are they following a list of rules? Are they following another person? Are they following something else over here? Are they in the Spirit of God? He says, follow me as I follow Christ. If I depart from the way, you keep following Christ. Don't follow me over that way. Christ says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's believeth in him. Not worketh for him, but believeth in him. Do you have the Spirit of Jesus Christ within you? The Holy Spirit of God? That's the question that you have to ask yourself. And there's only one way to get it. Only one way to have him with you. And that is by believing upon the Lord Jesus Christ today. We point you to him. Amen.